Welcome, everybody. Friday Night Live, 26th of December, 2025. Sorry for the chaos in getting started. Apparently, I've lost all my skills over Christmas. Only been doing it. I'm only in my 21st year. At some point, I'm going to get this all sorted out. At some point. I like to think that I can wait for these kinds of things. So, of course, love to hear about your Christmas. Love to hear about what's on your mind. Philosophically speaking, we do have a caller. Why do I feel something is not working that should be working? Yeah, I think everything's recording. All right. I think we have somebody who wishes to ask, speak. My wife won the Christmas Cookie House contest. We are live on Substack. Welcome. Substack, O Rama Lama Ding Dongs. Welcome. Laser hat placement almost there. Zara, if you wanted to unmute, I'm happy to hear what's on your mind.
We're unmuting. What'd you get for Christmas?
Oh, that's pretty quiet, man. Let me just turn that up a little. Can you go ahead?
Hey, can you hear me now?
That's better. Yeah, sorry, that was on my end. Yeah, what's on your mind?
Did you get anything existential for Christmas?
How would I know? Well, I suppose I got, my daughter said, what you want? And I said, make me a picture.
Empirical.
She gave me a picture. So that was nice. Other than that, I got, pretty
That's
much
very
practical things.
Yeah. Very nice.
Do you have any questions or comments?
What could
for
be
us
more necessary? That was it. You told me to unmute and, just want to know what you got for Christmas. That sounds very nice.
Yeah, it was nice. So we do Christmas Eve because the last thing you want for Christmas is the delay of gratification. So we did Christmas. We did stocking stuffers on the 23rd. We did opening presents on the afternoon of the 24th. And then met up with some people, did all kinds of fun stuff. We got more people coming over this weekend. So yeah, it was a very nice Christmas. How about you? How was yours?
Fantastic. Been debating an episode with a friend of mine lately, and so we got to talk about that over the phone. There's a little bit of echo coming. I don't know if my voice was too low and now we had to turn the volume up.
Yeah, I can't. Sorry. It's very garbly. I would just in general, and look, I'm not perfect this way either, but just in general, I would say for those of you who want to call in, A, have a headset, and B, have some data. I mean, just test, you know, just, I don't know. I mean, on Skype, there used to be a test thing. Just do a test call and see, because it's kind of annoying. And again, I'm not perfect this way either, but it's kind of annoying when people call in and they're all kind of garbled and you don't have any good data. I've had people call in windstorms. I've had people call in with barking dogs and screaming this, that, and the other. And it's just like, you know, if you're going to do a call-in show, it's just a kind of basic polite thing, in my view, which is to just try and make it as easy as possible for the host, don't have bad data, and have philosophical questions. That would be nice. Just, you know, if you could, I would appreciate it. All right, so let's get your questions and comments. And again, I'm happy to take more calls. So the person who is helping me with the books, our good friend Zimf, is waiting for kids to come by. Yeah, so the Christmas Cookie House contest, I was the one on the left with the dead guy in front. I'd forgotten that he was there. I just never quite got around. What happened was my wife is a tidy bot. Do you have a tidy bot in your house? She's like a permanent Greek short-legged Roomba who just goes around and tidies things up like all the time. So what happened in my house was we started the contest and then we took a break. Now, when my wife's around, you don't want to take a break on anything because the immediate thing that happens is whatever you've taken a break on will get cleaned up. She's anti-entropy par excellence. And so the stuff got cleaned up, like all of the glue and the pieces for the... So I just didn't get around to finishing it, didn't finish the guy. So we went a little bit unfinished, although my wife and my daughter were better. Mine was on the left. My daughter's was in the middle. My wife's was on the right. My daughter's was the one who had she had the diaper on the gingerbread man. Mine was the gingerbread man who apparently had fallen from the roof while hanging the Christmas lights. So I do appreciate all the thousands of people who voted, and there was great rejoicing in the land on the part of my wife. So a celebration that occurred somewhere around my kneecaps. I didn't hear much of it, but I heard some confetti noise floating upwards from the lower aspects of the planet that she inhabits. She's a little short is what I'm saying. I'm like, don't get short with me, never mind. You can get short with me. So I really do appreciate everyone's vote. And thank you so much for your feedback. It was a lot of fun. And people absolutely had hilarious comments. Because I'm not doing the videos, because I'm not showing the pictures, the comments won't make much sense. But it was very, very, very funny. So if there are ladies here, I know there are ladies here. I can sense it. I can sense it. But why is it that women, what is it that makes it impossible for so many women to say, we dress up to be attractive to men? Why? Right, so there's a video of women, very, very lightly clad, to put it mildly, women walking through Amsterdam. Now, I was in Amsterdam for a speech some years ago. I actually did a short documentary on Amsterdam that never saw the light of day. But anyway, I was in Amsterdam, and one of the aspects of the documentary was me touring the red light district. Roxanne! And if you see scantily clad women in Amsterdam, they may be ladies of the evening. Not working for the newspapers. They're not prostitutes. They're prostitutes. But maybe not, right? They could just be girls out there looking to, snag a hot guy for some late evening recreational acrobatics, right? Could be. Who knows, right? Anyway, so this guy writes this. I think he's a guy. I don't know if he's a guy. The male picture. Young women walking through Amsterdam at night, dressed for joy, for music, for themselves. No, that's not what women are dressing for. Women are dressing for men. I don't know why this seems so hard for people to admit or to understand. Maybe women can explain it to me. I wear this makeup, this incredibly tight dress and heels. It's just for me. And it's like, what? No, it's not. Why is this? It feels almost like blasphemy to point out the blinding the obvious that women dress for men. And there's nothing wrong with that. We appreciate it. And it's very nice and all of that. My wife dressed up for dinner last night, looked like a million bucks times a million bucks. And I, of course, was generally mistaken for her security guard as a bullet-headed, vaguely muscular guy who's a little past middle age. So I think it's lovely. She dressed, and she'll say, I'm dressed up to look good for you. Right. I love it. So why is it that women can't say this? Makeup. Oh, it's just for me. Why is it that, and maybe women are right to not talk about this kind of stuff. I don't know. But why is it that women can't just say, yeah, we dress up for male attention. We like male attention. And male attention is good, and male attention is kind of why we're all here, and we need male attention, we like male attention, we want to be asked out by guys. Like, why is it so hard for women to just say, yeah, we spend 2 hours getting ready, we get a tiny handbag, we get heels, which raise our butt up on a shelf, we have short, tight skirts, we do our hair, we pluck our eyebrows, we like all for male attention. Why can people not say this? And of course, you can answer this if you want to call in. That's fine. You can also answer this. Oh, why was the documentary on Amsterdam not published? The guy just, he went AWOL. You know, some people, like you work with them. And I was like, hey, we've got, like a dozen hours of footage of me commenting about Europe and Amsterdam and all kinds of cool stuff. And I've had this happen a couple of times. I did a 4-hour interview with a guy. It was supposed to be stitched together, a whole overview of my entire philosophy just vanished. I mean, the first documentary I tried to produce like 12 years ago, the guy who was doing my animation, people just vanish. I don't know if it's me. I mean, I've had business relationships that have lasted like 15 years, so I don't think it's me. But people just go AWOL. I don't know. Maybe someone got to them, man. I don't know. But Yeah, just the guy went AWOL and I couldn't get the footage, and I would have put it together myself because it was actually pretty funny. We did a pretty funny segment where I went to a sort of circus or a fun fair, and this was during one of the housing crashes, and I was making comments about all the people in the fun fair being yoinked all over the place, still having an easier time with the equilibrium than people trying to buy or sell a house. It was pretty funny. I had some pretty funny comments and jokes and observations about the red light district, and maybe it exists on a hard drive somewhere. Maybe it does, all gone. I don't know. But yeah, it is kind of annoying when people are like, hey man, if you're going to be in Amsterdam, let's do a documentary together. I'm like, sounds great. And he mic'd me up and we spent a day and a night walking around Amsterdam. And I was talking about sort of the history, and I was talking about the rise of prostitution and what it all means and all of that. And I just never got. Somebody says, I just realized the other day how ironic it is that the best philosopher has a French name. It's a bit of a change from French philosophy, which all seems to be about dissolving the evidence of your senses and legalizing child sexual assault. Good evening, Serpente. Do you have any topics for today? I do, but I'm certainly happy to hear yours. Love the Christmas speech from the other day. You answered many questions on my mind. Oh, thank you. Which one was Laura Loomis' house? Does she live in Amsterdam? I did not know that. I know she lives in the States. Do you have any thoughts on this massive silver bull run that's been happening? I don't believe I've ever seen a 10% gain in a day. Well, people are panicking away from the U.S. U.S. dollar, right? The current reserve currency ain't going to be reserve currency for amen too much longer. Dark Nimbus.
What's on your mind? Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the thing is that women benefit off of the ignorance of men, and just like any system where somebody is trying to leverage advantage of the other person, the system benefits off of the ignorance as men as well. And I believe that most of the system runs off this idea that there is this Disney fairy tale like romance that men are tricked into essentially enslaving themselves by, to where they think that they have to get these resources and abide by these rules to essentially procure a mate. And women can only benefit in that exchange if men remain ignorant and men remain in a mindset where they are not aware that relationships are just simply a mutual exchange of self-interest. And that's why women fight so viciously to ensure that nobody discovers this. And that's my answer.
Now, I appreciate that. I feel that's a little bit of a shark circling rather than sinking its teeth in. So tell me in particular, I think I understand, but tell me in particular why women always say that they're dressing sexy and doing all of this, teasing their hair and putting the makeup on and spending hours getting ready and waddling around or stalking around on their giraffe trotter legs. Why is it in particular so hard for them to say that they're doing it to attract men? Just help me understand that a little bit more. I get the general idea, but I'm not sure how it specifically applies.
Because then the illusion will be shattered, and then they themselves have to look in the mirror and admit that they're not necessarily good people. They're manipulating and leveraging situations to their benefit like everybody else. And some of them aren't even consciously aware of their own behavior. I think it's evolutionary, psychologically ingrained within them to do this. And it's also an involved behavior, because behaviors that get rewarded get repeated, right?
Still not quite sure. I'm not quite getting the connection here. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, but I'm not quite sure. So how does it harm women to admit that they dress up for male attention?
Because then you can't play the game anymore without men being aware that they're being manipulated.
Okay, I'm still not quite getting it. I mean, men know that when you look at a woman and she's dressed to the nines and she's looking sexy and she's showing some skin and she's right, her hair is teased or whatever, she's got full makeup on. I mean, men know that women are dressing up to be attractive, right? Help me understand what men don't understand about that, or what revealing that women dress up for men, how that would destroy that.
I don't think that the majority of men are aware that they're being manipulated to the degree that they should be with these behaviors that women engage in.
Okay, I've asked four times now. I'm just getting sort of a repeat of the generality. So I'll try and take a stab at it and let me know what you think. So if men think that women are dressing up for each other, that puts women, sorry, if men think that women are dressing up for each other and not for men, then it means that the men are not in demand. In other words, the women are all dressing up to make for each other. Therefore, the male gaze or the male glance or attracting the men isn't important, and that puts men at a disadvantage relative to women, because the women say, you are not part of my calculations, you are not who I'm dressing up for, therefore you have to work extra hard to get my attention, you have to show more initiative, you have to have more resources, you have to climb a high wall to get past my indifference that I'm not dressing up for you. Whereas if women say, well, of course we're dressing up for men, if we want to attract men, we like men, we're sexual creatures, we're romantic creatures, we want men, then men will feel more confident that they are of value in the equation. Whereas if women say, we're not dressing up for men, we don't care about men, we only do it for ourselves or for others, then there's a higher barrier for men to overcome to get male attention, which makes the women feel superior or higher up in the hierarchy of attraction, if that makes sense?
I never had to play any games to get the attention of women. If a woman wants you, she doesn't make you play games. You just automatically get access to her immediately and fully and sexually. That's part
okay,
of the lie.
Hang on. Okay. So what you're saying is that if a woman is attracted to you, she'll just, what, jump your bones? Or what do you mean?
Yeah, absolutely. All the women that I've ever picked up and hung out with in my life, within the first 5 to 15 minutes of meeting them, I'm already procuring them and engaging in those types of activities.
So hang on, 5 to 10 minutes after you meet a woman, you're engaging in sexual activities?
Most of the time, I would say a good 85% of the time, maybe a half a day or a day later in rare instances. But the only men that I hear that are forced to play games with these women are the ones that women don't want.
I got to tell you, I think that's absolute bullshit that you can get women into bed 5 to 10 minutes after meeting them. I mean, they've done studies on this, bro, where male models will go up to women in a bar and try and get the women to sleep with them. And the women, 100% of the women say no. Whereas, 60, 70% of the men say yes. So, and the reason I'm calling you out on this is because I don't want men out there to think that there are other men who can just get women into bed in 10 minutes. Like, this just, it's not a thing.
Well,
that doesn't happen. That's not real. Unless it's some drug addict in a bar and you're like, having some wretched sexual encounter with an STD, probability very high in some club toilet. But the idea that you are just going to go and meet a woman and sleep with her and 10 minutes later, I mean, it's just not true.
Well, if you were correct, then my entire social media accounts wouldn't be filled with women ages 18 to 22 who have done exactly that with me all over the nation and the planet. You can go check it out yourself.
Okay, so how many women would you say you've slept with?
At least over 120 by now.
Okay. And how old are you?
I'm 37 years old.
Okay. And what's the longest relationship you've ever had?
7 years.
Okay. So we take 7 years out of that and you've slept with 120 women. And why didn't you, do you ever want to get married and have kids?
I've had plenty of kids. I have over 8 sons right now.
Okay. What about getting married?
I don't think that's in my benefit, because then the power would be not in my favor. That gives the power of the state leverage over my life, and I don't want to.
Okay, so you have 8 sons, or you have 8 sons. How many kids as a whole?
8 sons.
Oh, so you have 8 kids. They're all sons. You have only 8 kids.
Yes, correct.
Okay, and how many different mothers?
8 different ones.
Okay. And do you make enough to take care of these 8 different families?
Yes. I run a cybersecurity engineering contracting company. I have for many years, and I do a lot of other things, including own, buy, sell land and property.
Okay. So what is your financial obligation on a monthly basis, just out of curiosity, for these kids?
The women I choose are very frugal and they're very smart with taking care of children. They don't require a lot, but they also don't have to work because I take care of them as well.
Okay, that's not answering my question though.
You're telling me how much for each one?
No, no. What's your total monthly expenses for these eight families? Just roughly, is it like 20K, 50K? What are you spending per month on these eight families?
Probably about 15 to 20K a month on all my kids in total, yeah.
Okay, so you're spending $250,000 a year for these eight families, right?
Correct, absolutely.
Okay, so let me just do a little math here. So you're sending about $2,000 a month to each one of these women, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And are these geographically scattered or in one central location?
They're geographically scattered.
So how much time are you able to spend with each one of your sons every month?
As much as I need to make an impression on them as their father.
Okay, you don't know how much each kid needs, so just give me an hour. Like, do you spend 10 hours, 20 hours, 5 hours with each son over the course of any given month?
Whenever I come around, that's pretty much what it is. I'm all over the United States all the time.
Okay, so you really don't spend much time with your sons. So you are having your sons be raised by paid-for single mothers, right?
I guess if you could put it that way, but
No, don't get feminine on me, bro. Don't give me, well, if you put it that way, I mean, you're paying for their mothers to raise them and you barely see them. So your sons are being raised by paid-for single mothers. In fact, if they were single mothers and you were around, you know, if you had one son and you got him 25 or 50% of the time, you'd be seeing them a whole lot more. So you have abandoned your sons to be raised by single mothers who you pay $2,000 a month to raise them.
I assume that the way you're saying things is highlighting what I've done as bad, and I don't see it as that.
I'm sorry, did I say it was bad? I'm simply stating it for what it is.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine with me.
Okay. So do you know what the outcomes are? And I assume, do these eight women who have your eight sons, do they have other children or just one of your sons?
Just me.
Okay, so you have eight sons with no siblings being raised by eight single mothers. Do you know what the outcome is in general for only children who are sons raised by single mothers?
The outcome with me was fine.
No. Well, we're trying to get the focus off you for like 30 seconds. So what are the outcomes for single sons of single mothers? What is their life outcome in general? Is it good, average, or worse than average?
Oh, I'm aware that the statistics are worse than average. I know what you're talking about.
Okay, great. So how do you square with your conscience the fact that you have handed over eight sons to eight single mothers with no siblings when you know that the outcome is pretty terrible on average?
Well, that's the average. I'm above average, so I'm not worried about that.
Okay, again, I'm not focusing on you or what you're worried about. I'm focused on what's best for your sons.
Yeah, so am I. And they have what's best for them. They'll be fine.
How do you know they have what's best for them?
Because I'm me and I know.
Okay, so you're just trolling me at this point, right? I mean, you can't be this narcissistic.
No, I'm absolutely this narcissistic, absolutely.
Oh, so you are narcissistic. Okay. Well, and I would suggest that you're doing real harm to your sons, and it is gross and vile. And if you're real and not just trolling, I don't know, who knows, right? I can't see people. But yeah, I mean, as long as you admit that you're a narcissist, I suppose at least the kids who can hear this later will know why they were abandoned to be raised by women with the only ambition is to get money off some narcissist for having his kid around, and it's going to be pretty bad. All right, regular guy, what is on your mind, my friend? Hello, hello. Question. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Wait. Okay. Hey, thank you. You know, I just wanted to comment on the girls dressing up and the reason why they can't admit it. That seemed pretty simple to me. The reason why they can't admit it is because they have a built-in anti-slut defense, and that triggers it. So they feel the need to defend themselves if they're ever questioned about why they're dressing up sexy and whether it's for men or not. It's because they don't want to look like sluts because they care about their social levels.
Well, but you can dress up nicely. You can even show some skin without looking like a slut. So I'm not sure it's all just slutty stuff.
Right. But it's when you accuse them, because they're going to, it puts them on their heels thinking they're being accused of doing something specifically for men, which would ultimately lead to sex. And they're afraid to look like sluts.
So hang on. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. I just want to make sure I understand the context of what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So a woman can dress up nicely, can dress up in a sexy way without it being for a one-night stand with the walk of shame, you know, breaking off a heel in the subway grate and waddling home with her mascara running down her face and, you know, God knows what in her hair, right? So
sure.
A woman can dress up nicely, can even dress up in a sexual or sexy manner, and it could be with the goal of procuring a long-term boyfriend that might lead to marriage and so on. So dressing mm-hmm. to attract a man doesn't mean automatically, of course, dressing for a one-night stand and being a slut or things like that. And even the women who dress up nicely with the goal of having a boyfriend seem to be unable or unwilling to admit that they're dressing up to attract men.
Right, because that will make them look like a slut. And it goes along the whole spectrum. Like, women won't admit that they're doing anything to procure sex because they are afraid.
Sorry, this is the point I'm trying to make. Women can dress up to look good to attract a man when their goal is not sex alone.
Sure. But ultimately, that's where the goal, that's where it leads.
No. Come on. Attracting the opposite sex doesn't just lead to sex.
And even if the woman doesn't expect to have sex with that person, they could feel when that person wants to have sex with them. And I think that's why they like to dress up too, because it gives them sort of a buzz, because they know, I mean, especially when they're really sexy, just about every man that walked past them has a sexual feeling. And I think that they could sense it, and it makes them feel good. And they don't want to admit to that, but I think happening.
Look, of course, we all want to be attractive to the opposite sex if we're that way inclined, right? So if you say to a man who's going out for the night, you know, put some gel in his hair and, you know, puts on his most expensive watch and a really nice shirt and slacks or whatever it is, and, you know, shows up to the club in a nice car. And if you were to say, well, why are you putting all this effort in? What would he say?
Yeah, that he's doing it for girls.
Yeah.
But that doesn't have the same social connotation as a woman saying it does it for guys, because it's okay for guys to go out and unlock lots of doors, but women don't want to be unlocked that easily.
Okay, you saying that the only way? I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying, and maybe this is a bit of a you sound younger than me. It could be a generational gap. So, women, when I was younger, women dressed up and looked good, and it wasn't just so they could fulfill this last guy's imaginary fantasy of 10 minutes and we're into bed, which is just a complete lie. I don't think he was a real guy at all.
That was crazy.
Yeah, that was funny. But I don't want men out there thinking like, oh my God, other men are bedding women within 10 minutes. It's like, No, they're not. And if this guy's running an entire company, he knows how to answer a simple question about finances. So anyway, I mean, I just thought it was a kind of funny role play. But women dress up nicely to attract men, and they have done so all throughout history. And it's not just for sexual access. It is to attract a man so you can exchange numbers, so you can go on dates and this and that and the other, right? When I first started dating my wife, she still does, but she dressed up really nicely. And it wasn't like we jumped into bed together, because we're old enough to know that that's a bad idea and we wait our time and so on, right? So why can't women dress up nicely and say, I would like to attract a man without it being, and go straight to bed with him, or like, because that's not the case for a lot of women, for most women.
I think it's kind of like what you said, is they don't want to admit that they're a part of this game.
They don't want to admit that they like and need men.
Yeah, no, they don't want to admit that.
Because if they say that they like and need men, then the men have more leverage over them.
Yeah.
In the same way, like maybe it's like if I want to go on, let's imagine that Bob is out there buying a house. Now, if the guy knows that Bob is homeless and living in his car, right, then, or whatever, right, or Bob is about to have triplets and he's living in a small apartment, let's say something more realistic, then Bob really needs this a house. And if Bob says, oh, yeah, I love this house, this is like the perfect house for me, blah, 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 then the seller has leverage because Bob has expressed need. And so if the women say, we're dressing to attract men, then the men have more leverage because the women have dressed up for them, so to speak.
Sure,
Is it something like that?
I think so, probably.
So yeah, playing hard to get is a way of... Yeah. Like if somebody wants you to come and work for them, and you say no, I'm really happy where I am. I'm not really looking for a new job. Then it may up the offer they're going to give you, as opposed to yeah. I need another job. I can't stand it where I am. I'm dressing for success to land this job interview. Then you have a need which lowers what you're going to be offered. Is it something like that? Could take this probably. Job. I could not. I'm easy. I mean, I'm just dressing up for myself. I'm not dressing up for a job interview. I guess I could listen skeptically. And it's a way of trying to up the demand by showing indifference to the product. Is it something like that?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Leveraging. Yeah. Okay. Totally. That makes a lot of sense.
Okay. So it's a strategy to up the demand. Okay. Sorry. Is there anything else you wanted to mention?
I just want you to know, I have listened to you for years and years, and you've completely changed my life. I love all the stuff you've ever done, and I really, really appreciate you.
Well, thank you, brother. I really appreciate that. Of course, I'm not trying to dodge the compliment. I really accept it and appreciate it. But let's say that I write a recipe book. You still have to cook the meal and do the diet. So really, give a nod to myself, take a bow for yourself. That would be my suggestion.
You're saving a bunch of kids. You're saving a bunch of kids from terrible childhoods. And I really appreciate you.
I appreciate that. And I would also, one of the reasons I wanted to bring this topic up is don't be with manipulative people. And so—
Totally.
Yeah. If a woman says, oh, I don't like dress up for a man. Like I dress up for myself. I dress up because it makes me feel good. The makeup is just for me. It's like, don't date
right.
her. Yeah, just don't date her because that is a manipulative person, man. That's somebody who cannot be, if they can't even be honest about why they're wearing makeup. Like, why do I work out? I work out because I'm in a monogamous relationship with my wife and I want to look good for her and I think I have a good brain and I need to take care of it and be healthy. Like, that's why I work out. I don't like working out. I don't enjoy it. I don't thrill at moving metal, but I work out for my wife, I work out for my health, and, you know, I don't mind being trim and looking good. I think that's fine. But, you know, I just work out for me. It has nothing to do with anyone else. It's just so that I can look at myself in the mirror and pose, and I just like seeing the little vein that goes down my bicep, or as I like to call it, the monster sap. Like, of course, I work out for other people, and there's a little bit to do with my health and myself, but, you know, that's a lot. So I think just being honest is really important. And if there's a woman who can't even admit why she dresses up, which is to attract men, and not all men, but a certain type of men, if a woman can't admit that, I mean, why would you want to get into a relationship with her? The odds of her being honest and direct in your relationship as a whole, if it starts off without people telling the truth, it doesn't get better from there.
No doubt. No doubt. I really appreciate you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Keep up the good work with philosophy. And I really do appreciate your kind words. Thank you. They really mean the world to me. I'm not going to pretend to be like, oh, just another bit of praise. It's like, no, that's a thrill. Thank you. All right. Noah, are you out there in Africa trying to get people to join your ark? I think that's going on at the moment. Did he come? Did he go? Wait, did he just vanish? All right. Let's give him a sec to come back, see if he shows up. If not, we go to J23-something-something. My eyes getting old. All right. What is on your mind? If you want to unmute, I'm all ears.
Yeah, just quickly playing the devil's advocate. Women, just kind of just devil's advocate. I think in some cases they might dress up for themselves. Only this one observation. Women have more of an abundance mindset than men. Meaning, like an average girl can get more attention from the opposite sex than an average man can get from, like, the opposite sex.
So, Tim, and I think we talked today earlier, which is nice. But tell me about the abundance mindset. What does that mean?
So it's kind of like, let's just say if you you have a business and you have 1,000 paying customers, you don't really care if one of them complains or if they drop off. But if you only have 10 customers, each one little prospect that or customer that leaves or falls off has more weight. So in this scenario, and I could be wrong, I think that women just have more options to choose from, to where they can say, I'm not going out for these guys. I'm not trying to get these guys. I'm trying to get
I think that's interesting. And I think the thought just struck me, and tell me if it's complete interruption to your thought or whether it's complimentary, is maybe it's a simp filter. So if a woman says, I don't dress up for a man, I just dress up for myself, maybe the man she wants is like, no, you don't. No, you don't. Come on. I mean, I get you got to say that, but let's be honest. That's not, you dress up for men, but not for all men, just for a particular top tier of men. But, you know, and so maybe it's a simp filter. Like, I genuinely believe that women's addiction to astrology is a simp filter. Because if a woman says, well, the reason that I'm sometimes moody every third Tuesday is because Venus is in the abscess of Uranus and is doing its rotational spin like the ShamWow guy. And if a man says, oh, yeah, no, totally, I understand, like, then he's a simp. And he can't, so he's not interested in her. He's just interested in her body or dating her, but he'll say anything, you know. And that's a test to see if men can handle disagreement from women or can disagree with women, because if they're simps with women, they're not going to succeed as men in general because they're weak. And I remember a woman, I've said this before, who I dated, who talked about her psychic abilities. And I said, you know, the amazing Randy has like $1 million in Vegas. We can like fly down tomorrow. Hey, I'll split it with you, man. $500,000 would go down pretty nice and easy. And I was like, I don't, you know, I mean, if you can do it, I don't think you can. I don't think it's real for a variety of reasons. Like, of course, psychic abilities aren't real because they'd be so much greater than having to speak things and write things down. Like, imagine the army you could coordinate or the hunting party you could coordinate if people had the ability to read each other's minds. It would be unbelievable. Imagine the sports team you could have if everybody was a mind reader rather than having to do these summon a fireball hand gestures in their groin in baseball or other places. So, of course, there's no such thing as psychic phenomenon. And I was basically just calling her out on that and saying, yeah. And she actually, we dated after that. And she showed me quite a bit of respect because she was very attractive. And the fact that I was willing to say, well, bullshit. I mean, come on, like, with all due respect, that's fine. I mean, it's nice that you say that kind of stuff, but it's not real. Like, in the same way women have, you know, the secret. I just ask the universe for things and lo and behold, and it's like, do you find that when you ask the universe in a low-cut top, the universe tends to respond a little bit more? Do you find that the universe responds to you more with longer hair, more makeup, or shorter hair and no makeup? Because, you know, the universe shouldn't care what kind of makeup you have on, but somehow it really seems to. So I think that women saying absurd things is kind of a shit test for men to see, are you a simp or are you going to disagree with me but not get angry? Right? Because I wasn't, if the woman said, well, I'm psychic, and I was like, oh, that's bullshit, that's ridiculous, how could you possibly say this? Absolutely stupid. Then it's too aggressive, right? But if I say, yeah, I mean, come on, it's not real. I mean, if it's real, let's go pick up the $1 million, but, you know, it's not real. It doesn't work that way. And I'm like, how do you know? You haven't tried it, right? So if you can be kind of good-natured but call out the nonsense, then I think that women are like, okay, so he's not a simp, he's also not overly aggressive. And he can also disagree with the kids and manage them when they're teenagers and so on without getting too aggressive and without just bending down before everything, because women like having power over men, but they're never less happy than when they achieve it.
I agree.
I wasn't sure if I put you to sleep or not.
No, you're good. I agree with that. That makes a lot of sense. It's kind of interesting because this is not just putting the blame on men, but I feel like a lot of dudes will just orbit a chick and agree and simp for her. And it used to irk the hell out of me. Like, have some balls, have some respect for yourself.
Well, have some respect for the truth and don't, it's an insult to women to say, if I tell you the truth, you're not going to be interested in me. Now, of course, there are some women who are like that, but you don't want to be around those women because they're manipulative hags with no soul. So you want to be honest with women. And, you know, if there's a woman at karaoke and she sounds like the proverbial dying cat parade and she says, how did I do? And you say, oh, it was glorious music to my ears. Beautiful. Right. Then you're just kind of lying. If you say, you know, I mean, you put a lot of passion into it, but I wouldn't say it sounded particularly great. In fact, kind of was bad. Then that's fine. That's just being honest. Right. And I think that women, I mean, because there's this thing that I see all the time on X and other social media, which is women just, you know, doing their bird hand, saying the most absurd nonsense with the most ridiculous amounts of makeup on, known to man. And it's just a way of trying to get attention and trying to get men interested in them. They're just saying absurd things with heavy makeup and filters, always in their car, with the brain-pecking bird hands and stuff like that. And it's just a weird mating display to say absurd things to get male attention, to get viral, to get shared, and to get this kind of a focus and attention. Maybe you'll get the guy you want. But it is just a weird thing that goes on these days, which is women saying crazy stuff with heavy filters on in cars to just get male attention. And of course, it gets all the wrong male attention. So yeah, when women say this kind of crazy stuff, I mean, my general habit has been bullshit, right? I mean, sort of like the guy who was like, I sleep with women 10 minutes after I meet them. I'm like, no, you don't. No, you don't. Unless you're paying them. And also, I don't believe that he has 8 sons. Only sons. I'm that manly. I only produce males. But yeah, so I would just put this out there that when women say absurd things, and then you point out that they're absurd and you don't believe them, but you do it in a way that's not like hostile, I think that's actually kind of a relief for women because they can then offload some of that reality processing stuff off to men and focus on the stuff that they're really good at, if that makes sense.
It does. It does make sense. I had a quick, it's kind of a sidebar, still related. I've heard, I read on the Atlantic, might have been like 10 years ago, a couple of things. One is how testosterone levels are dropping in men. And then secondly, how being on birth control like rewires a woman's hormones or her, it rewires her attraction circuits, apparently, to what she's attracted to. Some are related, but not entirely related to the topic.
Yeah, I've certainly heard that women tend to want softer, more feminine men when they're not ovulating, and then tougher and more masculine men when they are ovulating, which is the, you know, alpha fucks, beta bucks kind of idea. Definitely. There are, I'd sort of heard yes or no about the testosterone dropping, sort of looking into it a little bit more. U.S. men's testosterone from the late 80s to the early 2000s, it's going down about 1% a year, independent of aging, obesity, or smoking changes. A 2020 analysis of U.S. National Health and Nutritional Examination Survey data showed a decline in adolescent and young men of testosterone from 1999 to 2016. Average total testosterone dropping from about 605 NG per deciliter. I don't know what that is, NG per DL. From 605 to 451, about 25% decrease over those about two decades. This held even after adjusting for BMI, and even normal mate men showed the trend. More recent reviews and meta-analysis confirm an ongoing gradual decline of about 0.5 to 1% per year in healthy men. And that is, now, in normal aging, you get about a 1% drop per year after age 30 to 40. Your testosterone drops when you get married and it drops again when you have children. So which is kind of what you want. You want to be out there being aggressive to get a mate, but you don't want to retain those high levels of aggression when you're around children. Otherwise, the children are going to end up being catapults in a trebuchet or something like that. And so some of it is rising obesity and BMI, sedentary lifestyles, less physical activity, processed food for phytoestrogens, lower fat intake in some cases, of course, plastics, pesticides, female hormones in the water supply, marijuana use, stress, sleep disruption, and so on. There's a lot of So it's a gradual. So most men still fall within normal ranges, but averages are lower, and more men may experience symptoms like low energy, reduced libido at younger ages. So it is a very sort of real thing. Testosterone is like a muscle, and when men's life gets too easy, we don't do well in masculinity. That's why I wrote earlier today. I think a lot of people's, like a lot of men in particular, sort of emptiness and depression and stuff like that. And my obviously amateur opinion comes from this weird belief, like life should be peaceful, man. Life should be easy. You know, it should be fun. And it's like, no, you're a bro. You're a man. Life is fights. Life is battle. Life is combat. Life is conflict. That's the way that it is. It's what we're built for. We're built for, you know, we can keep it verbal. We can keep it intellectual and so on. Oh, I guess you can join boxing clubs if you want it to be more physical, or some sort of jiu-jitsu or martial arts thing. But no, life is not supposed to be peaceful. Life is supposed to be conflict, combat, and fighting. And that's the chafing that gets our testosterone high and keeps it high. And when men retreat to imaginary sex through pornography, they retreat to imaginary combat through video games.
Your mic sounds a little different. I'm not sure if it's just me, but your mic sounds a little different right now.
My mic sounds...
It might just be me. I'm not sure.
Yeah. No, it's the same mic. So yeah, if it's all imaginary stuff, at some point your body catches up and says, okay, well, none of this is real. And I think also it's one of the reasons why societies tend to cycle is that when you get an upper class, they tend to get softer, and then they get taken over by a lower class who then get softer. And that sort of process is going on at the moment. So you got to work out, you got to exercise, and you got to take on fights, conflicts, and challenges. But of course, because we live in such a female-centric society, fights, conflicts, and challenges are just not allowed by the estrogen tyrants that generally run the world these days. Like if you have a big conflict with your coworker, you're going to get reported to HR, and you're going to have a lot of sensitivity training, and you got to not do fighting and no conflict, and it's really bad, and don't raise your voice and don't interrupt. It's like, no, it's what we do. We raise a voice, we interrupt, we yell it out, we fight it out sometimes, hopefully not physically, but it's not beyond the pale. And we live in this sort of claustrophobic, oh, you can't only, like I was saying this the other day to a friend about, I can't remember if I mentioned it on the show, when I was on the swim team when I was 14 years old. I was on the swim team. I was on the water polo team. I was on the tennis team. I was on the cross-country running team. I was just a motion madman. And I went up to a friend's cottage, and I was swimming across the lake and back, which was a long way. It was a long way. Now, I knew enough, like, you know, you get that metallic sound when your head's underwater and there's boats coming because you don't want a boat to run over you. God knows that happened to a friend of mine's wife many years ago. It's just appalling what a boat propeller can do to a human body. But I swam there and I swam back. And my friend's mother was outraged, incensed, literally yelling at me. It's so dangerous. What are you doing? It's like, I said, I'm on the swim team. I know what I'm doing. I've swum way more than this in the pool. I know I can do it. I'm totally fine. But she was just horrified at the dangers that I was taking on. And it's like, yeah, but we need that stuff. We need that danger. We need that opposition. We need those risks. I myself have taken a risk or two over the course of my career as a public intellectual, and it's been well worth it. So I think risk avoidance or faking risk is like, you know, like the guys who in their teens, like in your teens, man, you just got to go up, you got to ask girls out, and you got to get shot down. And then you get up, you dust yourself off, you complain to your friends, and then they say, yeah, man, that's tough. Go do it again. And that's how you develop the muscle of being able to overcome rejection. That's where you find your place in the sexual market pecking order, and you just got to do it. But now you can just avoid doing it, and then you can go online and everyone's like, oh yeah, women are this and women are that, and you're better off without. And like this earlier guy who's like, well, I don't want to get controlled by the government, so I have 8 baby mamas. Like, that's not going to get you controlled by the government. It's just crazy. So yeah, it is. It is really, really sad. You should take on your physical challenges, your physical activities. You should go to the edge of what you could do physically. You should ask girls out, get your heart kicked around a bit, and go to a foreign country with very little money and try and make a go of it. I went to work up north, gold panning and prospecting. Like, just go do roughneck stuff. Do things that are going to give you some calluses. Do things that are going to push you to the edge of your comfort level. And that way you can get and keep a boner probably until about 8 days after you're dead. Sorry, is there anything else you wanted to mention?
No, that was everything. That was very insightful. I guess one quick last question. It's for developing like a daughter, like if someone, this is hypothetical, it's not me, just out of curiosity, for someone that's concerned about raising a daughter in like today's environment, how to make her strong, strong-minded, strong-willed, and not falling for just any guy at the bar or the club or whatnot. What's like, I mean, peaceful parenting, of course, but what other... Ethics.
Well, of course, if a girl is raised with a good relationship, in particular with her father, a father, of course, who takes interest in her for herself as a person, then if she knows that she's interesting and of value to her father for herself as a person, her thoughts, interests, jokes, and ideas, then she is used to male attention for the qualities of her character. And then if a man is just wants to grab at her and stuff like that and doesn't really care about the quality of her character, that's just going to feel foreign, weird, alien, and gross to her. In the same way that you raise the kid speaking English and somebody starts talking to her in Japanese, she's not going to be able to answer or follow what's going on. So you have a good relationship with your daughter and you make sure that your daughter knows how much you enjoy her company, what a great person she is. And that way, she will expect the guy to want to get to know her before making any sort of romantic or sexual advances. And if a guy starts off with the sexual stuff, it'll just be like, it's obvious. Like, it's just kind of gross because she knows how important she is to, you know, the sort of first man as a person. And then she can't be depersonalized by others just looking for sex, if that makes sense.
It does. Thank you so much.
All right. Appreciate that. Thank you. And... I will get to the callers in just a sec. It's great to having these great conversations. I really do appreciate it. Are you conservatives not interested in hearing "pick yourself up by the bootstraps" anymore? Yeah, well, you know, the boomers were raised without DEI and quota systems and the exclusion of white men from the workforce, so they don't understand the world that they made. They don't understand the world that they made. Kairos, nice to see you. My friend says dressing up for men is called being a pick-me and breaks the sisterhood according to all the feminism programming. I think it's a form of intrasexual competition similar to a woman convincing her friend to cut her hair off. Maybe. James says, doesn't we don't dress up for men also try to inject a kind of cognitive dissonance in others? Sensitive men will listen to the words. Insensitive men will just ignore what they say and pursue anyway. Yeah, I mean, you don't want to be sensitive to anything but the truth and your own conscience. Somebody says, oh, Zim says, gets girls in 5 to 10 minutes, exclusively goes after bar skanks. Oh, just really broken people, right? Troll detected. Yeah, it could be. There was another troll who said he was 37 yesterday. Yeah. So it could be somebody who's calling in again, maybe with a voice changer to make listeners look bad or something like that. But 8 times deadbeat dad responsible. Women who sleep with him after 5 to 10 minutes eats up the sweet government contract money. This has to be a troll. Yeah, maybe. Cute mug. Yes, this is my Christmas mug. My daughter made it for me when she was like 5. It was something I love. I know I'm going to drop it one day because that's just me, but it's nice, right? The Noah's Ark guy brought himself a new Mercedes. There's a guy in Africa who's getting thousands of people to line up to get on his Ark. Crazy man. How dare you take a masculine risk? Yeah. When I tell people that I did swim across the East River, their first question is it dirty? Yeah, when I was in Africa with a cousin of mine, unfortunately he later died, but we went rock climbing. I did like an overhang with no ropes. Like if we'd fallen, we'd have just died. And it never even really crossed my mind that it was particularly dangerous. I mean, I may have had a little bit of a lower sensitivity to danger, perhaps a little bit less positive that way, but all right. So let's get to people who have successfully called in, or at least not failed to call in before. Alex Alexikoff, what is on your mind?
Hey, Stefan. So my question is a little bit off topic from what you're talking about. I mean, is that okay? Or
sure.
Or does it have to be women makeup? So, like very quick preamble, like I don't know, like a month ago, I asked you if what's the most supernatural thing you'll be willing to believe. And then that devolved into like a half an hour argument or something. I mean, it's just another question that I like to hear your take on, but it's not about arguing or who's wrong or right or whatever. And the question is this one. Is there a moment in your life that you will want to go back to and do things differently?
I sort of get that idea that, you know, if I could rewind and do things differently, there's an old saying which says, never underestimate how much worse luck your bad luck has saved you from, right? Mm. So in the past, you'd say, oh, this girl, I love her. And she broke up with me and it's really sad. But, you know, every girl who I broke up with or who broke up with me paved the way to my wife, who is like the best woman for me that God himself could invent. And so I don't really think too much about those kind of things. I do sort of think back and say, you know, when I was a teenager, I wish I'd gotten the kind of instruction that I try to give people. You know, one of the things I do in the world is I try to be kind of a resource for young men and women that was missing when I was a young man. And to provide what you were denied is really the best thing that you can do with bad things that have happened. So, yeah, I mean, I could certainly say, oh, I shouldn't have done this or I shouldn't have done that and so on. But given that I'm sort of very happy and content with how my life, I wouldn't say has turned out because that sounds like it's really the end of the road, but how my life is turning out is good and positive. I think I've done maximum good in the world. You say, oh, well, I shouldn't have taken on this topic or that topic, and maybe I wouldn't have been deplatformed and blah, 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 blah. But yeah, but deplatforming got me back into reading and writing novels, and it got me a real tight community for a while, and it helped me appreciate being back and all of that, at least to the limited degree that I am. So you can't know before you know. And given that I'm happy where I've ended up, it's tough for me to complain about every twist and turn or any twist and turn, because if I were to go back and change decisions that I made in the past, I might not end up where I am now, which is kind of where I want to be, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. What will be your advice if there's someone who has something that deeply regrets, like, I wish I had done this in a different way, and that can consume your mind if it's something that and I'm not talking like you committed a crime or something like that, but just like decisions, because when you sometimes when you look at your life in retrospective, you figure out okay, maybe this would have been a better choice for a career or whatever. This is something that has affected me, and I know affects other people, particularly if you're in around your 30s, I would say, where you start making some sort of review of where you are, where would you like to be in 10 years, if everything is worth it or not, things like that. I mean, I do have a couple things that I say, I wish I did differently 10 years ago, but I just didn't know better.
Just very abstract, which is a little tough for me to focus in on. Can you give me an example of a kind of decision that you or someone else that might fall into this category, not a moral something, but.
I can tell you one that that actually applies to something you just said to another guy right now. So I think it's interesting to bring it up. I have a daughter. I didn't choose to not spend time with her, but I spent more time doing other things than with her. And that's something that I deeply regret. I wish I had spent more time with her when she was younger. Now she's 10 years old. Everything is fine, but still, those moments will not come back, right? So it's
Well, it's funny too. Sorry to interrupt, but it's pretty consistent in the social sciences. When you ask people what was the happiest time in your life, it's usually when their kids were very little.
Yes.
A little bit beyond babies, which is kind of exhausting, but certainly sort of preschool age, sort of the 2, 3, 4, 5, it's an absolutely adorable age. And I remember I used to go out for dinner every Thursday night when my wife was working. I would go out for dinner with my daughter. She'd wear her princess dress. She'd sit on my lap and we'd go to a restaurant. They had a a half-price seafood special, and we'd go and eat that. And she loved grandfather clocks, so we'd go and play with the grandfather clock at the restaurant. And, you know, those times were just great and super fun. And so most times when people look and say, well, what was the best time in your life? They don't necessarily really remember professional stuff. They don't remember educational stuff as being peak. What they do remember was the times that they were sort of rolling around wrestling with their kids when their kids are very little, and you know, mega nights, you know, and all of that sort of stuff. And so what happened with your daughter that you spent less time with her? What were you doing instead?
It was related to work. I was studying a PhD. I put a lot of time into that, and I needed to make money because we were... So now I'm in a much more comfortable position. But back then, money was like really, really tight. I was the only one. Well, my wife also did work, but I was like the main provider, and I had to I had to work, and I had to do a lot of things instead of just being with her. But looking back into it, I'm quite sure that I still could have spent more time with her. I'm sure. But, yes.
Well, if you have to work, you have to work. If you're doing a PhD and working full time, then the PhD, you know, it's 5 years. You know, 5 years for your kids. There's almost nothing in life that is sort of the length of your life involved that can't be postponed for a couple of years. Like you could have postponed the PhD for a couple of years, right?
Yeah.
Right. So I think if you're honest about it, which I'm sure you are, and you say to your daughter, this is what I regret. I'm really sorry if it had any negative impacts on you and so on. And that's the one aspect of things. The second aspect of things, of course, is that we get a correction for parental mistakes. And do you know what the correction for parental mistakes is?
No. What's that?
Grandkids.
Nice. Yeah.
Grandkids, which is why a lot of people who weren't, like, I'm not putting you in this category, but a lot of people who were kind of indifferent or maybe even abusive parents have a do-over, like a whole mulligan with the grandkids. And doing better with your grandkids is how things should be, but you should also be honest with your kids about what you've learned in the interim. And it's nothing wrong with apologizing for kids for what you've gotten wrong and what mistakes that you've made. I mean, I've certainly said to my daughter, like, I'm sorry for those, you know, weeks when sometimes I was in full combat with the entire planet, you know, like splashed all over the New York Times inquiries and hit pieces coming fast and furious. And, you know, that was a time when I was less emotionally available to her and all of that. So, you know, good, bad choices, whatever, I can say yes, but I was trying to make the world a better place. But, you know, that's not something she understood as a little kid. So I think saying, yeah, there's things I could have done better or things I should have done better, and I'm really sorry about that, to own your mistakes, to be honest with about them, to apologize, to make amends where possible, and then to do better with the grandkids is, I really think, the best that we can do, particularly if you are coming from a not great family or parental situation, like having been parented as a kid. If your parents weren't particularly great, then you really are having to reinvent the wheel. So I think, you know, be honest, apologize, make restitution where possible, and then, you know, really nail the do-over, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. And she's 10 years old now, so there's still lots of time to do stuff. It's only that, yeah, I kind of like miss those years where she was like much younger and super cute, and I, like, you know what I mean. But anyway, okay, well, thanks, Stefan, for your answers, and
thank you, and I really appreciate your sensitivity about what we did as kids, you know, what you did with regards to parenting, because it's really hard to get that stuff perfect. And here's the thing, too, even if you're a perfect parent, your kids are still going to have a tough time, because there's a whole lot of imperfect people out there, if you're some perfect parent, how's your kid going to adjust to the regular atmosphere of the everyday traumatized planet, right? So There's a sweet spot, because if you're perfect, then your kids can't really run in society. There's sort of a sweet spot where you're good enough that it's a big improvement, but not so good that they can't ever breathe anybody else's oxygen, so to speak, because they're used to a totally different atmosphere. So I hope that makes some sense. All right.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, brother. Take care. All right. Dark. I think that's Dark. Nimbus. We're going to give this one more try. Are you and you requested to speak again.
Yeah, I just spammed the, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just spammed the chat with all the videos of the women I'm with. I'm not lying to you. I don't know why you think I am.
Okay, why would it matter if I didn't believe you?
It matters because I'm not safe. And it also matters because the reason why you're in denial is because women didn't choose you. And it makes you mad.
Well, women didn't choose you either.
No, they did.
In no, fact, they didn't, dozens of because... them.
That's well, why you got married, because they never chose you.
Is this a level... I guess you must spend a lot of time around women to think that this sort of nonsense, this sort of pathetic...
Way more than you, and I understand them a lot better than you ever will.
Okay. All right. Why do you think that you would come across this punchy and aggressive?
Because it's in my nature to be that way. And I would call what I did genetic success.
Okay. Well, I mean, you certainly have more kids than I do, without a doubt. I would say that abandoning kids to be raised by poverty line single mothers is not going to result in success for your children.
No one abandoned them. We'll see who places bets where in 10 years, buddy. Check on me. You'll see.
Well, I can tell you one thing I'm not going to be doing in 10 years is checking on you. I can absolutely guarantee that, because you just don't really spend enough time around quality men.
You won't have a choice because I'll be everywhere.
Okay, so narcissistic and megalomaniacal. That's a delightful combo. That's a delightful combo. All right, Noah, let's bring in. And the idea too, this is a guy who thinks that spamming pictures, I didn't see any pictures, but spamming pictures of women proves all of this. I don't know. It's very strange to me. But I'm very sad. Grok had no idea of who this guy was. Yeah, let's see. Noah, did you want to?
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me? Okay, sorry. A lot of interesting conversations. I like the...
Yes, okay. Would you like to add to them? Really? Are you with me? Are you with me? All right. I think I'm going to have to add Noah to the block and remove list, because I think he's tried to come in a bunch of times before. All right. So yeah, it's kind of interesting to me, again, if this guy's real and he's got 8 baby mamas with, that's just wretched. That's very sad and very, very tough for his kids. So if he's like a hyper-masculine guy, let's say he's just, the Aristotelian mean, right? You don't want to be too little masculine. You don't want to be over-masculine in the same way that you don't want to be a coward, but you also don't want to be foolhardy and so on, right? You don't want to not work out. You don't want to work out so much that you get injured, right? You need that sort of Aristotelian mean. And so with people as a whole, sorry, JJ, I'm not sure if you want to come back in or not. Just let me know. I'm not sure if this is from the last time, but if you are excessively masculine, you will tend to produce a feminine male offspring because they'll react to that. And also, if you're excessively masculine and you're hyper aggressive and hyper competitive and kind of contemptuous and all of that, and a bit of a sleep around kind of guy with, you've got 8 baby mamas and so on, then the women will resent you, and the women will infect your sons with resentment against you. And so what will happen is the pendulum will swing enormously to the other side as a whole. Oh, somebody's asking, is your video on the truth of the crusade still available? Yes, fdrpodcasts.com, fdrpodcasts.com. Just do a search there. And you can find it, do a search for Crusades. You'll see the show, click on it, click below. There'll be a link to the video. So yeah, if you're hyper-masculine and you've got a whole bunch of sons with a whole bunch of baby mamas, then the baby mamas will be like 95% more influenced than you, and they'll resent you. They'll be hostile towards traditional masculinity or hyper-masculinity. So your sons will swing to the other side in general. It could be exceptions, of course, right? But the general trend will be that they will then swing too hard to the other side and then will be opposed to that level of masculinity, and because it's hard to find stability in this world, and they're really overemphasis, you're really the female domination and the low quality female domination. I mean, how many women will say, give me $1,800 a month and I'll raise your kid? Well, not women who have any particular potential or ambition or ideals or anything like that. So if this guy's very smart, he's probably, you know, it's not, the smart women wouldn't take that deal, right? A smart woman would not take the deal. Oh, thanks, James. Yeah, the show number is 3153. Boy, that's like halfway back, right? So fdrpodcast.com/3153, Truth About the Crusades. So yes, smart women won't, I'm just sort of laughing in my mind, imagining that when I met my wife and I said, hey, I'll pay you $1,800 a month and barely see you if you stay home and raise a kid of mine. I mean, she'd just look at me like, what planet had I disgorged myself from to make such a ridiculous offer? So women who are willing to take the offer of, I'll pay you $1,800 a month and you can raise my kid with barely any input from me, that is not a high quality woman in general, because a high quality woman wouldn't want that deal and wouldn't take that deal, because a high quality woman would want an actual family with a husband who stuck around and helped to raise the kids. So, you know, baby mamas are basically close to single mothers. Single mothers have an average IQ of 90 or 91, and this is probably even lower than that. So, unfortunately, you're just going to have the next generation fairly anti-masculine and probably less smart than you, because you're having kids with women who think that $1,800 a month to raise someone's kid without them being around much is a really good deal. Right. Let's see here. There was something about Andrew Wilson. What did I miss here? Oh, I have scrolled too far. So somebody was talking about Andrew Wilson was on a show. Oh, somebody says, thanks, Ed. Did you see the PBD podcast? Andrew Wilson has a lot of praise and respect for you and wants to debate you. I mean, I would love to debate with Andrew Wilson. He is a very smart guy who always shows up on Piers Morgan as if he is somehow living in Satan's armpit. I'm just saying, bro, get a little lighting. It's really cheap. You don't need much. I have two lights here and all of that. And it's not easy to light my forehead, because if you light my forehead incorrectly, I look like that diamond ring that happens with a solar eclipse. So to smoke and to debate from Satan's armpit, he is a very skilled debater, a very smart debater. He actually has a whole debating course, by the way, if you wanted to know. He has a whole debating course. I have art at theargument.com. He has a whole debating course. He's very learned and smart and wise at debating, and a very good thinker. On his feet and so on. So I would like to see him debate maybe slightly more skilled people, but you know, that's of course a lot of the own destroyed stuff. So yes, Monsieur Le Wilson, if you want to reach out and touch me, you can email support@freedomain.com, and I'm sure we can have, you know, whether it's a great chat or a debate or something like that would be fine. Universal morality, I would love to debate that from a religious versus a philosophical perspective. I think that would be just excellent. Just excellent. All right. Any other last questions, comments, issues, problems? I think, yeah, we can have a bit of a shorter show today. I did a lot of work on the show today and a call-in show this morning and all of that sort of stuff. Got some great call-in shows coming out shortly. I hope you will check those out. I'm sorry, we've been a little light on the call-in shows because a lot of people are doing private call-ins. freedomain.com/call. Feel free to set one up. You can do a public call-in show. We can disguise your voice if need be. You can stay off names and places. You'll be anonymous for the most part. Or, you know, if you keep things generic and we change your voice, nobody will know who the hell you are. So freedomain.com/call. Thank you, everyone. freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. shop.freedomain.com for your tasty merch, such as this hat. And last but not least, peacefulparentingbook.com to get your physical copy of Peaceful Parenting. We're also coming out. We've just released The Present in print form, and we're working on the future. So thank you, everyone, so much. Have a gorgeous, beautiful, wonderful, slitheringly delicious evening, and we will see you Sunday morning for the donator-only live stream, and we will talk soon. Take care, my friends. Bye-bye.